Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland, where today we're talking television with our focus firmly upon North America. I'll be joined by television critic for Canada's Globe and Mail, John Doyle, all the way from Toronto. We'll be discussing The Night Of, the latest HBO series with a rather bleak look at New York's justice system, and Queen of the South, a new series showing on the USA Network that delves into the murky underworld of Mexican drug wars. As well as that, we'll be taking a look at some of the top headlines from the North American TV industry as well. That's all to come on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. John Doyle, welcome to the show as ever. Now, we'll start off today with a few headlines from throughout the week, starting with the acquisition of the American cable channel Starz by Lionsgate. Now, Starz, which is spelt with a Z rather unfortunately, is a network that comes up quite often on the Arts Review. What's your take on what this will mean for the channel and also for Lionsgate too?
I think it means several things. I'm not an expert on the mathematics and the business side of this kind of deal, but it strikes me as good for both. Starz is a channel that is on the up and up. It has been making some extremely strong series over the last few years, and with Lionsgate behind it, I think it's going to be able to expand the number of original shows it can produce, and it's also going to be able to sell those shows with greater strength and fortitude in the international market. Everybody in that arena in premium cable is in something of a dilemma at the moment, which is how do you compete with Netflix and with Hulu and with other streaming services where everything is on demand? Something like Netflix, of course, has vast amounts of money to make a new and original series. Yet HBO is the brand name for quality. HBO hasn't been doing that well in the past 2 years. Starz is one of those channels that could ascend to the level that HBO is at. One of the things to keep in mind, of course, is that Starz is actually run by Chris Albrecht, who was a HBO executive in what would be called the glory days of HBO. So Albrecht knows what he's doing in terms of content and giving creative freedom to people who can create really original shows. One last point about Starz, I think, is that it really struck gold with Outlander, which is shown in a phenomenal number of countries around the world. It's up there with Game of Thrones in terms of having an international following and an international impact. It is an enormous show.
What are your thoughts on what it takes to really join the ranks of some of those more prestigious TV channels? I mean, let's compare this to AMC, for instance, then. They were really not known that much, and then all of a sudden they produced Mad Men, and they were known by absolutely everyone. You've got other networks like Lifetime or TV Land that have been trying to really ramp things up in recent years to differing levels of success. Do you think it's still possible to simply create one big hit and then become a household name? Or is the market really changed too much, as we had a network executive say a little while ago? Is there just too much TV today?
Well, the question of too much TV has been talked about since, I think it was John Landgraf, the head of FX, talked about that specific issue, and he's a very, very shrewd man. Every year he and his department count how many original dramas and comedies are on American television across cable and the networks, and it keeps going up and up. His prediction is that, you know, in the next 2 years, there will just be so much TV that some things, even though they are very good, very well made, and expensively made, are just going to drop off the radar. I'm not so sure about that, because I think that there will be shifts in the business itself. I think you will see some channels will simply shrink, especially if there's a decline in the U.S. economy, or there is one of those technology shifts, which means people find it easier to access one thing than another. Netflix is the classic example of that. I would talk more about peak TV, not too much TV. We're at the level of peak TV. It's going to last for at least another couple of years. And yes, you are correct. Even channels like Lifetime, which has largely relied upon trashy and middlebrow entertainment aimed at a female audience, they are now trying to create and air far more prestigious material. I guess proves that there is a market for serious drama, serious comedy, quality drama out there, and there's no sign of that changing in the near future.
Oh, John, I can't believe that you would label that Elizabeth Taylor telemovie by Lifetime starring Lindsay Lohan as trashy. I'm utterly offended.
John, I stand by that.
We do need to move on. We have a couple of shows up for review today as well, the first of which is a new HBO series called The Night Of. Now, this is based on a BBC series that aired here in the United Kingdom called Criminal Justice, of which each series focused on one fictional character's journey through the criminal system. In The Night Of, we're following Naz, a Pakistani-American student accused of a brutal murder, and his attorney, John Stone. Let's hear a clip first.
What's your name, son?
Naz.
Where she says she wanted to go?
The beach.
The what? The beach? What happened, Naz?
John, there's always a lot of expectations, as we were just saying, about an HBO series. They've had a bit of a funny old time lately, though. A couple of years ago, we had Boardwalk Empire, which didn't exactly set the world on fire. The Newsroom was much the same. Looking had a lot of anticipation and didn't really match up to all of that. What are your thoughts on this latest series, The Night Of?
It's actually interesting that you talk about bad luck, and in a way, The Night Of, it has an interesting backstory which has some bad luck in it. This was originally created with the intention of having James Gandolfini play the lead role of the lawyer who takes the case of the very unfortunate and unlucky Nazir, who descends into the hell of the American justice system. Gandolfini passed away, of course. He had actually made the pilot, and he was very much committed to it. This was a big deal, Gandolfini returning to HBO, not as a mobster as in The Sopranos, but as an attorney. It's a very meaty role for an actor. After Gandolfini passed away, Robert De Niro stepped up and said that it was something that really interested him. I'm not sure about the rightness of that. And in fact, it's probably a good thing that it turned out De Niro was not able to fit this into his schedule because, well, he makes a lot of bad movies these days. And he always seems to be working in those.
Having too much fun with Zac Efron, clearly.
Yes. So John Turturro stepped up and was interested in the role, and he is incredibly good. He is profoundly good in this series. As you mentioned, it's based on a British series. It's a mini-series, and it is not going to go on and on. This will have only so many episodes, and the story will be wrapped up. Possibly some of the same characters would return in another season where it would turn into a kind of anthology. But from the beginning, The Night Of is an incredibly gripping drama. It is a crime pulp thing that it transcends that to the level of truly excellent drama. There is that sort of page-turner quality to it. And there is twist after twist after twist. The first episode, which is about 90 minutes long, is superbly made. As we watch this unfortunate American Pakistani Nazir, He simply wants to go out for the night. He's a studious kid. He's a good kid. You know, he's in his late 20s. He makes a bit of extra money on the side, tutoring the sort of basketball stars at school. And he kind of envies their loose lifestyle. He wants to go to a party, and that is his fatal mistake, because as soon as he decides to go, almost every step he takes, something goes wrong. He doesn't realize it at the time, but eventually it becomes clear that something has gone terribly wrong in his night. He ends up in a police station where really nobody gives a shit about, you know, this kid who they're not sure why he's there at that point. And along comes the Turturro character, who is very much a down-at-heel lawyer who sort of goes around the police precincts looking for clients and looking for somebody who's going to be able to pay him $200 to take care of it. When he realizes what's happened to this kid Nasir, he sort of sees for himself maybe one last great case. This is a complicated case. This is him and the kid against a judicial system which is going to assume all of the wrong things about an American Pakistani. It's going to assume all the wrong things about what happened on this young man's night out in which a woman died. Did he have anything to do with it? Well, I mean, that it is superbly done, the way the viewer is drawn into it, and the viewer is not sure. If it's not Nasir, then who on earth is responsible for this? So it's incredibly gripping entertainment, and I am going to be highly recommending it to my readers.
Well, John, finally, we need to hear about Queen of the South now. This is the latest show to hit the USA network. Now, that premiered at the end of June. I'll get you to sum up the storyline in just a moment. First, though, let's hear a bit of a clip.
I'm allowing you to be part of us, putting your roof over your head, protecting you from my husband. Do I have to worry about you, Teresa?
No.
Women in this business, we cannot afford to look weak.
I'll deliver the drugs that your mule didn't.
You're gonna die.
I am doing this job.
Get down!
You took a big risk. I was impressed.
John, we are in dangerous territory here. This show is based on a book. Now, that's not unusual, but it's already been made into a Spanish-language telenovela, which did extremely well on USA's sister network, Telemundo, about 5 years ago. Now, whenever we see, whether it's a movie or whether it's a television series, something that is adapted from an existing version in another language, so often it just all goes terribly, terribly wrong. How does this one fare?
It fares better than that, because it's not an exact copy of the original telenovela. In fact, in the first two episodes, it veers dramatically away from the plot of the original, and it's which took the main character to Spain. In Queen of the South, the main character goes into the U.S., where dramatic things happen which enable her rise to power, a powerful figure in a drug cartel. So I don't think you have to worry about that. You know, if you're a purist in the telenovela genre, you might find fault with it. But I think this version makes it more emphatically dramatic and less like a soap opera. A thing to remember about this, however, is that, you know, there is really interesting backstory to this one, too. The original telenovela, La Reina del Sur, was, as you say, enormously popular. It was, in fact, one of its biggest fans was the drug cartel guy El Chapo, who was finally captured, as everybody will remember, and then escaped from a Mexican prison and was captured again. While the original show was airing, he was a huge fan of it and wrote fan letters to the actress who played the main character, the woman who runs the drug cartel. And in fact, because she had had this personal contact from El Chapo, the actress was one of the people who helped Sean Penn make connections with El Chapo to do that famous interview, that famous piece for Rolling Stone, which kind of went awry. But there is something juicy already about the origins of Queen of the South, I think, given that context.
Such a bizarre story, sort of recalling a little bit of some of the storyline of Narcos there, I think, which is interesting because, of course, Narcos could be considered an interesting comparison to what we're hearing here about Queen of the South. Perhaps just give me a brief outline as to what the actual story is here that we're focusing on with Queen of the South.
Well, first I'd say this is not Narcos. Narcos is a far more serious drama. This is a soap opera, an exciting one. The main character, played by Alice Braga, who is related to the famous Sonia Braga, her boyfriend is a major operative in a drug cartel. He is wiped out. She then decides that she is going to, if not play his role, then in the drug cartel, then at least to begin with, she was going to use the information that he has. Everything from the secret bookkeeping about, you know, where the drugs come from, who buys them, what profits and everything. She's going to use that to enrich herself. And then as things progress, it becomes clear that she could actually rise through the ranks and she could be her own queen of a drug cartel in a business that is very macho and in which she needs to be as tough as the men surrounding her. It's an interesting way of telling the story, too, because it essentially begins with what appears to be her death. She's at the top. She is assassinated. And as she's dying, she begins to tell the story of how all of this began for her. So it has that soap opera quality. It has that Spanish telenovela quality. But it also, I think, rightly embraces the issue of what's happening in Mexico and what's happening in across the border in the U.S. A good deal of the first part is actually set in the U.S. So it's about the American fear of Mexicans and fear of what they bring with them when they go to the U.S., which includes drugs.
Well, that is The Queen of the South, which is now showing on the USA Network. And just before that, we were talking about The Night Of, which will be showing on HBO from the 10th of July. That indeed brings us to the end of today's show, thanks to my guest, John Doyle, at our Toronto Bureau. You have been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. This show was produced by Holly Fisher and researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our book review. But for now, from me, thanks for listening.